Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, I preached the first part the last time I preached. And this is the fourth and fifth chapter are practical instructions from the Apostle Paul to those believers at Thessalonica. In the first few chapters, it was sort of where they had been and his concern for the church and his commendation of the church for being an example church. But now he gets down to practical stuff. And the last time I preached, I mentioned that in the first few verses, verses 1 to 8, that the Apostle Paul encouraged us through the Thessalonians on how to live a life that pleases the Lord. Even an expectation that he had for the Thessalonians on how to live life. And we spent some time on purity, and he said that we are called not unto uncleanness, but we're called to holiness. And that was the expectation. It was that we as believers and they as believers, even in the middle of that wicked Greek culture, would abstain from fornication and abound more and more in holiness. And that's what we preached before. He also said that Christians were expected to abound more and more in brotherly love, and that they should be honest in their labor too. Later on in chapter 4, verse 12. But I'm going to preach very familiar scripture, verses 13 through 18 tonight. And I'm happy to do so. Because after dealing with a topic like fornication, the return of the Lord is a welcome topic. Amen? The title of the sermon tonight is called The Comfort of Christ's Coming. Read with me 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall... What magnificent scripture this is, can I just tell you? What magnificent scripture. There is no other... I mean, there are other passages in the Bible that we read that speak about the return of the Lord and the day of the Lord and the second coming and the millennial kingdom. But there's a couple of other scriptures that we read and where we gather information about the rapture of the church. But there is no scripture that points it out like this. I'm glad that the Thessalonians had a question, aren't you? I'm glad that they had a question that, hey, we're expecting Jesus to return at any moment, and it upsets us that some of the believers have, since Paul preached to us and told us that Jesus rose from the grave and is returning, it upsets us that some have died, and we're afraid that they're going to be at some disadvantage when it comes to the return of the Lord. Their question was, what happens to them when we are here to experience the glory of all of the events of the return of Jesus, and all these fellow believers have already died? What happens to them? That was their question. I'm so glad they asked the question. Because now we get to read in this what happens to our brothers and sisters who die in Christ. Let me tell you right away, right off the bat, way ahead of my notes, that those that die, that have, think about your loved ones, that have believed in Christ and went on, they are at no disadvantage when Jesus comes. They will experience the glory of the Lord. I'm going to say it like this. First, they get to participate first. Hallelujah, because he says the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those that are alive and remain will be caught up together to be with the Lord forever in the air. So, hallelujah, thank you to the Thessalonians for asking the question. And then thank you to the Holy Spirit for inspiring the Apostle Paul to pen these words so that the church of 2016 can be encouraged and comforted in the return of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now I'll finish reading. Verse 15, for this we say, I probably read this already, but I'm going to read it again. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, those that are dead. We're not gonna cause them any disadvantage or hinder them at all. Verse 16, for the Lord himself, picture, now listen, Jesus Christ, the last we saw him in the scripture is in the book of Acts. Well, let me just preach it for a second, then you'll understand. The last time Jesus was on earth after his resurrection, and we read that the disciples were speaking with him, and then he ascended back to the Father. He went up in the clouds, and they beheld him as he went back to the Father, and then they were standing there, you know, stargazing, kind of beholding as he left. And then we got these wonderful words that Luke recorded in the book of Acts. And he said, an angel said, why stand ye here looking and gazing into the heavens? Because just like he went, he will return in like manner. Praise the Lord. And then we read how Stephen, and we know that he ascended back to the Father, and he's seated at the right hand of God, even today. We know that Stephen, as he was stoned, he looked up and he said, behold, I see the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father. Jesus today is alive and well and seated in heaven at the right hand of God. But at one moment, hallelujah, in just a little while, it could be in our lifetime that there will be a shout from heaven and a descent from heaven, and the Son will come down with the trump of God and the voice of an archangel, and he will call out the dead in Christ, and he will call out the church, and we will forever be with the Lord. The Son of God descending. Boy, that comforts the church. For the Lord, verse 16, himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Praise the Lord. I don't know. Maybe I won't get past this verse right here. He will descend from heaven with a shout. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I'm ready. I've been born again. I've heard the gospel. I believed in his blood. I know he rose again. So come on back, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. If I believe that he resurrected from the grave, I also believe that he will return. He said he'd lay his body down and raise it up after 3 days. And he did it. Therefore, he says in John chapter 14, I go away, but I am returning to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Here's what I know, that if he was able to be raised from the dead, he will surely return in clouds of glory, just like he said. He will descend from heaven with a shout. With a shout. I thought about the shout. The shout. I don't know what it's going to sound like. But I think I'm going to hear it right. I'll know what it sounds like when it comes. I studied that word a little bit. And that word shout means, it's kind of like a command. And I praise the Lord. I'm talking about the Son shouting and the dead rising. I'm talking to the dead in Christ shall rise. You know what I thought of is John chapter 11, where Jesus goes to the tomb of the one that hadn't been dead for 4 days, and behold, he stinketh. But he said with a shout, You get it? With a command, with a summons, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says that death could not hold Lazarus, that he rose up and he came forth and Jesus set him free. And by the witness and testimony of Lazarus, many believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord with the shout. I don't know what it'll sound like, but this is what I know about the shout, that the shout will summons the dead in Christ. I know that the shout will catch up or snatch up the church of God. Praise the Lord for the shout. Who's listening for it? Praise the Lord. I'm listening for the shout. He says that he will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel. You know what? I don't know much about the... I know that the Bible names one, Michael, in the book of Jude, is named as an archangel. And really, from biblical accounts, we can't learn that much about angelic hierarchies and how that's organized in heaven. I really don't know. But here's what I know, is that in the book of Revelation, so many times when God gave a signal call to humans, he would dispatch angels with this terrific, you know, voice and calling us. Aren't you glad that one day there's going to be a shout? And one day God's going to look at Michael and say, it's time to give the call. It's time to go with your voice. I don't, what's he going to say? It don't matter to me. He's going to call, and with the voice of the archangel, we're going to be caught up together. Praise the Lord. This seems like a myth or something. This isn't a myth. Listen, when Jesus spoke about being able to raise his body up from the grave, it seemed like a myth. This is not a myth. And one day, but we will either be the dead in Christ rising with the shout, or we will be those that are alive and remain, and we hear the shout and the voice. And how about this? He said, with the trump of God. With the trump of God. I play the trumpet. I kind of wish I could play the trump. I don't know who's going to play it. But I know that the trumpet in the Old Testament times, they used it for calls to battle. I know that they were warning calls. But this call is going to be a different one. This is one I don't think that's ever been played before. This trumpet call is reserved for that day. This trumpet play is something that you and I will recognize when we hear. And I believe it's going to be similar to that in the book of Exodus. It's going to be a call. In the book of Exodus, the Bible says that God told Moses to gather the people together, and they were going to gather around the Mount of Sinai. And that he was going to set boundaries because the people couldn't come up upon the mountain lest God would break forth upon them. He was setting a mark that God is holy and they were not. And they gathered around the mountain. Boy, I love this. And the Bible says that they saw lightnings and they heard thunders. And then the voice of God, and Moses spoke to God. And it was a marvelous thing. But a trumpet played. And the sound of the trumpet was like many waters. And it grew louder and louder. And the Bible says it called them to meet with God. How about the last trumpet being one that calls us to meet with God? A calling, maybe that grows louder and louder, and that the playing calls the dead in Christ and those that are alive to go up and forever be in the presence of the Lord. So there's going to be three noises: a shout, a voice, and a trumpet. Verse 17. No, the rest of verse 16, and the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Look what he says in verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort. In other words, church, these are formal instructions. that should be reviewed over and over and over. When it comes to comfort and encouragement, death and eternal life, you open up this letter and you read these verses often to the church. May it be recited and mentioned and quoted and sung about and preached on that Jesus Christ is coming. Hallelujah! And that the dead will come. Listen, the whole point was, like Sister Laura was saying, was there will be a reunion. You know what the Apostle Paul said? Don't worry. Don't be sorrowful when a loved one dies as if some great big loss has come to them. That's what unbelievers do because they have no grounds for hope of anything after. But believers, we know that Jesus Christ has risen, and we know what is ahead of us. Therefore, when we die, there's no big, great loss. We're sorrowful. But hallelujah. Well, I'm talking about eternal sanctification in the presence of God forever. Paul says, for me to die is gain. How could he say that? Because he knew the glory of Christ was coming. Praise the Lord. You know what baffles me? Now, I had planned to preach each verse. But how about this? He had spent just a little time with the church at Thessalonica. Maybe a couple of weeks. He went to, the book of Acts tells us he came in and he went to the synagogue and he preached. And there were a few days in a row, but then because of persecution, he had to flee the city. They, as basic Christian fundamental teaching, at the core of being a Christian, to them was the return of Jesus. Just as much as the resurrection was important, so was the return of the Lord. Just as much, I think, as they preached the resurrection of Christ, so preached they Jesus, his return is very nigh. That's why it disturbed them so much that believers had died. And I miss it because even Paul says, we which are alive and remain. Even the Apostle Paul thought it was possible that he would be alive when the sound, the voice, and the trumpet came. Church, we might be alive when the sound, the trumpet, and the voice are heard. I don't know of anything else left in the scripture to be fulfilled before God would dispatch the archangel. I don't know what holds back Jesus from descending from heaven and catching us up. That word, by the way, caught up, and I'm going to close. I wanted to make sure I didn't run us too long. But that word caught up. In verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. You know what that word means? That word means a sudden pulling out. A forceful pulling up. Almost violent, but not without the violence. You know, I think Paul was probably emphasizing a quick snatching up. And I would like to pair this with one other scripture. You got your, what did Pastor call it this morning? An amener? Get your amener ready. I like that. Get your amener, your hanky, your shouting foot. You know, I seen people. Anyway. Behold, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to read two verses, 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that is die, but we shall all be changed. Amen. What a mystery. But what glory this is. Amen. We shall all be changed. Yes, we will. Think about this, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen. Hallelujah. We shall be changed incorruptible, eternally glorified, justified forever. And it's so close, it's so near. I prayed that the Lord would use this passage of Scripture and just stir us again, that we would live with this fresh understanding that He could return, and He is returning. And just because He's been delayed doesn't mean He's not coming. Just because some folks mock the return of Christ doesn't mean the rapture is not a biblical truth. The biblical truth is the rapture is certain. Now, we might debate when it might happen, but I believe that the rapture of the church is at hand. I believe the kingdom of God is at hand. I believe we ought to preach the gospel because the Son of God is coming back. I believe we ought to watch and pray because He returns as a thief in the night. So let me get to my application slide. At the end, I try to have an application slide. What does this mean? What does it mean to you? What's the impact of Jesus' return? How would it change you if you knew that the return of Christ would happen in your lifetime? How would you behave different? How would you talk different? How would you plan different? You know, now the Thessalonians in the second book of Thessalonians, Paul had to rebuke them because many had said, oh, he's coming back so soon, we're just going to quit working. And that's why he said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Get back to work. Do what you're supposed to do. Just know that his return is soon. So how would it change your life knowing that Jesus is coming back? Here, what the Apostle Paul wanted us to get from this was comfort. What the Apostle Paul wanted the church to have was comfort and encouragement. Church, he's coming. Be comforted by that. Be comforted in the fact that it's for sure, even when the world looks like it's out of control, the political climate's crazy, the national climate's, you know, the world climate is chaotic. Listen, take comfort knowing that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords shall return. There will be a sound, a trumpet, and a voice. No matter what happens here, He's returning. And no matter what happens to you and I, whether we're alive or whether we die in Christ, you will hear a sound. You will be called up. You will be... I didn't get to this. He said that we will be caught up in the clouds. Hey, listen, Jehovah walks on the clouds. He's going to call us up to walk on the clouds with Him in His presence. Hallelujah. Let it comfort the church that He's returning. Comfort your families. Jesus is coming. We're preparing for His coming. Praise the Lord. He said, encourage one another. Comfort one another based on this. The dead will be resurrected and participate in the Lord's coming. The living will be reunited forever with loved ones when Jesus returns. All believers will be with the Lord eternally. Formally teach this over and over and over, he said. Would you stand? Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I don't want to pray in place of the church's prayer, but I would like to pray for the congregation today. What a wonderful passage of Scripture, Lord. We believe in your return, and we want to be like the five foolish women. Or we want to be, I'm sorry, Lord, we want to be like the five wise, not like the five foolish. We want to have our oil and our lamps trimmed. Lord, we want to be watching so that we're not taken off guard. Lord Jesus, we want you to return and find us being faithful when you come back. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I pray that the church would be encouraged and comforted by these words. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.